It's the Darren Copeland Experience. You've never heard anything like it.
And it's the last segment of the Darren Copeland Experience on this cool Tuesday evening. We're taking right up to 10 o'clock when you'll be entertained by the Homegrown Sports Show. They'll be talking some sex toys.
The Rockies lost the doubleheader 11-12.
Yes, but they split the games.
Oh, do you know why?
Hmm.
Because win-loss matters and all the other statistics don't.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my petty shot.
Mm-hmm. But if the Rockies win tomorrow, then they will have won both games and the run differential.
So do you know what I say every time I see a truck filled with with hay on it? Like, oh, you must be a farmer because hay. That's my hay stat.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just dumb.
No, it's not dumb.
No, it's pretty dumb.
It's not dumb.
Before you go and tell me yours, I want to give you
some... But we... Reset!
So we were talking about... I discovered today that Wayne Gretzky's number 99 has been retired league-wide from the NHL, making his the only number of all the great hockey players to be retired. No one else in NHL can wear that number, much like Jackie Robinson's 42 cannot
even
be
though
worn
they all
anybody.
Wear it once a day. They all wear it once. Every player if plays in the major leagues plays in 42 at least one day.
One day when everybody wears it on the same
day. So it's kind of like rude. So Jackie Robinson, we're retiring your number so that everybody can wear your number once.
But it's a special occasion. It's a special occasion. I get it.
Jackie Robinson Day.
It's Jackie Robinson Day, exactly. So
St. Patrick's Day. Could you imagine if we made Jackie Robinson Day just like St. Patrick's Day, where everyone just goes out and drinks till they're, yay, Jackie Robinson Day. Come on, that'd be awesome.
We already have St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, it's called Cinco de Mayo.
What? No. It's called St. Patrick's Day. Cinco de Mayo is a whole other thing.
All right, sorry.
So in basketball, we both agreed that we would retire Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's 33, which I think is a good choice.
33.
Yeah, it's 33. and I decided I have one, and then I have one kind of outside the box. But this my choice was Jim Brown, and I wanted to give you a couple of stats because you were talking about how dominant Wayne Gretzky was in his sport.
Way more dominant than anybody. Okay.
Jim Brown dominated everybody over the course of 9 seasons. He ran for 12,312 yards.
Yep.
Almost 4,000 yards more than anyone else who ran over that 9-year span.
Okay.
Dominated.
Good one.
When he retired, he held the all-time NFL rushing record. Okay? He retired in 1965, so that was how long ago? 50 years ago?
Yep.
In 50 years.
To go be an actor.
In 50 years, can you tell me how many other running backs in the entire NFL have run for more yards than him?
One, two, three.
You can stop at two. Two.
Have rushed for more yards?
Have more yards all-time rushing than Jim Brown. Emmitt Smith and Walter Payton have run for more yards than Jim Brown. So he's still, after 50 years, third on the all-time rushing list.
I guess it kind of shocks me that O.J. Simpson didn't have more yards.
Nope. And do you know how many running backs in the entirety of the NFL have a bigger yards per carry average than Jim Brown at 5.2 yards per carry?
That's probably none.
That is none. So tell me, in 50 years, how dominant is that? That he still holds these records.
He was playing against small white
guys. Oh, come on. Come on. And Gretzky was playing against people in California.
Same size white guys.
Come on.
You make a compelling case. I was not going to go with Jim Brown. I was not going to go with you, but you make a compelling case.
That's a compelling case.
Okay, my first choice to be retired.
Yes.
Would be... Walter Payton.
Okay.
So man of the year, all-time, all-time great, second all-time leading rusher, just went out there all the time and went for a long time and really sort of changed the game.
Okay.
Here's my other one, and this one's totally out of the box.
Uh-huh.
And you're going to laugh, but you're not going to laugh. You're going to laugh at first, and then you're going to be like, okay.
Okay.
So I wanted to go with people who changed the game in terms of, you know, minorities. So Jackie Robinson was a great player, but certainly is known most for his actually changing the game.
Okay.
Okay. So I believe that you should retire Doug Williams' jersey from Washington Redskins.
First black quarterback to win Super Bowl.
Yes, to win a Super Bowl. And when you think of the guys that got blackballed out of there, Warren Moon, you think of Marcus Allison's brother, I don't know what his name was, but he was an all-time guy in the Canadian Football League. You know, I oftentimes feel that the guy in Philadelphia didn't always get a fair shot, even though he did. You know who I'm talking about.
Plastic Man.
Yeah.
I know exactly. Gosh darn it, now I can't remember his name. God, I loved him. He was great.
Starts with an R.
Randall Cunningham.
There you go. See, I was... I'll take one note. There's an R. You'd be great at that spin game.
Yeah, no, I...
Wheel of Fortune?
I'm a big fan of that game. Randall... No, I'm not laughing. I can see where you're coming from, and that is a very logical choice.
Because there's not really another guy who did as much for black quarterbacks in the NFL than him.
I'm going to give you a name who I think did more.
It's not Lionel Taylor.
No. And it's not Marlon Briscoe.
Marlon Briscoe.
I am going to go with Warren Moon, though. Warren Moon was really the first superstar African-American quarterback in the NFL before Doug Williams.
He came into the league, I believe, after Doug Williams.
No. No. Doug Williams beat the Broncos in 87 or 88. It was their second Super Bowl, so it would have been 88.
It just blurs together, man.
I know, it does.
There's just all I remember from the 80s was Mickey and the Broncos getting thrashed in the Super Bowl. Mickey, we lost again. We lost again. This time by worst. Mickey. That's kind of what it felt like to me. That was the 80s.
So Warren Moon actually came out in the mid-70s.
Well, he graduated from Washington, I believe, in 1979.
And then he went to Canada
where he did all sorts of great things, winning great cups. But there's been other guys who've done it there.
But then he came to the NFL and did
it here. Came back with Houston. So, but that would have been after, it would have been like 80, maybe 86?
84. So he was in the league before Doug Williams.
Never won a Super Bowl.
No. No, but he played well enough to prove that you
Doug Williams was in the suit. Doug Williams was Tampa Bay's quarterback before he was Washington's quarterback.
Yeah, that would have been like 85.
No, 80 like 3.
No, 83.
Came out of Grambling. Not 83, probably. Well,
do you remember who Tampa Bay had? They had DeBerg and sent us DeBerg.
Yes, because they had.
And then they brought
had,
in.
Yes, what's his head?
Young.
Steve Young. I know they had Steve Young. But they brought in him after.
Well, let me just check. Either way, it was Warren Moon who actually performed better than Doug Williams early on. He was the one, I think, made coaches say, you know what? An African-American quarterback actually can produce really well and win games for a team.
But then they couldn't win championships.
But that wasn't his fault. And Doug Williams didn't win that Super Bowl. Timmy Smith won that Super Bowl.
So like when I was in college, like after I was out of college, I was back. I had a friend who was doing one of those like bartending, you know, 3-day courses where you can learn to make drinks and then you can get a job. And in the room was him with this guy. He's like, "What's your name, Tim Smith?" "Are you that Tim Smith?"
Doug Williams.
Yeah.
Played with the
Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 78 to 82.
78. So he was there. And then Warren Moon graduated in 79.
And then he went to Oklahoma/Arizona Outlaws.
Yeah, that would have been the USFL.
Yeah, from 84 to 85. And then he
Redskins,
joined the Redskins 86 to...
I don't remember him at all with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Oh, I don't remember him at all.
They were pretty forgettable. I mean, even with Steve Young, they were forgettable.
So if he was... Then he would have been their first quarterback.
Yes.
As an expansion team.
He might have been the first black quarterback chosen in the first round.
All right, well, I've got his stuff up here. I'm going to look him up.
Round one pick, first round, pick 17.
Let me give you another
name. So he may have been the first ever black first round draft pick and becomes a Super Bowl winner.
All right, whereas I had given you very good information to support my Jim Brown choice, you were making a very compelling argument for Doug Williams. That's a very good call. I'm going to throw out another name. I just want you to think about it. I'm not changing. Jeez. I'm staying with Jim Brown, although Doug Williams is a very good call. Otto Graham.
Okay, so we got to work through our Otto Graham here. First of all, we know that he invented the graham cracker.
No, different Graham. So, but Otto Graham played
the graham cracker.
Otto Graham played quarterback in an offense that changed the NFL under a coach who changed the NFL.
They became the first like full out passing. They opened up. So before you had 2-3 yards in a cloud of dust, now you had the open offense. I feel like Don Coryell might have had a hand in that. Might have been an assistant coach in there somewhere.
He was, well, but Don Coryell learned that from Brown, Paul Brown. Paul Brown was really the mastermind because Paul Brown also passed it on to Bill Walsh. But 10 straight championship games,
yep.
7 championships in a 10-year span. Come on, man.
Again, they were playing slow white people.
But the last 4 of those championships came against the NFL. And their very first NFL game was against defending NFL champions Philadelphia, and they went into Philly and beat the crap out of them.
I'm not sold, but we only have 20 seconds left, so...
We can continue this later.
Yes, to be continued.
We'll be back tomorrow with more Darren Copeland Experience. Stick around for the Homegrown Sports Show. We'll see you tomorrow, 8 o'clock.
It's the Darren Copeland Experience. Weeknights 8 to 10. Now I really love how you're